This episode of the A-Team is brought to you by FaceToFaceGames.com, Canada's number one source for Magic the Gathering card singles.
I'm like, Scotty Mac is singing that song? Like, I thought it was, like, just playing, like, on the radio. I'm like, so that was my first thought. My second thought is, I'm not going to do karaoke tonight. Because there's no way I'm going to follow that up.
Like, yeah, no way.
Welcome to the A-Team Podcast, brought to your ears by ManaDeprived.com, home of Canadian Magic.
In 2010, a crack Magic-playing unit was sent to prison by the DCI court for crimes they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a federal pound-me-in-the-ass prison to the Canadian underground. Today, still wanted by Wizards of the Coast, they survive as podcasters of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can listen to The A-Team. KYT.
Sorry, Jay just agreed when Medina, my head exploded.
Jay Boosh.
Is this what it's like to be a brewer? Because that was exciting. That's what it's like. I take it all back.
Scotty.
I would really like you to, like, come clean. You just mulligan to land elf sword every single game.
And Medina.
So anyways, I had to leave, obviously, because I'm just not going to sit here and watch chicks get naked when there's trading to be done.
And now, the A-Team.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 108 of the A-Team Podcast. This is KYT. How's it going, boys?
I think I'm gonna do some clicking for good measure, since everybody loved that last time.
I am once again joined by Jonathan Medina, Mr. Scotty Mack, and Jay Boosh.
Yeah.
Boys are back in town.
I didn't even listen to the old episode, so I don't know if it was me, but I'm assuming it was.
Yeah, it was. I think it was you clicking your mouse.
It was your stupid fucking MacBook, and you're like, because your mouse is your trackpad, right?
Yeah, because you were like...
To those who made it through, I love you.
Please forgive me.
Like, Fabio, man. Fabio made it through.
I listened to it because I heard all the complaining in the comments. I'm like, it can't be that bad. I'm like, come on. So I listen, and I get about 15 minutes in. I'm like, I'm not doing this, man.
I apologize. Not we.
I love when we have those episodes where we can't even make it through. those are the good ones. Those are the best.
They're far between, at least. Few and far between. But Fabulous actually made it through the episode, and he wanted to ask about how I was playing Magic on a Mac and just get boot camp. You don't need to get another junk PC laptop. Boot camp is just, as long as you can get like a Windows on the cheap, that's the best solution. There's nothing bad about boot camp in terms of performance. It just runs Windows as is, so make sure to go get that.
But doesn't it come with boot camp?
It does come with boot camp, but you need like an actual Windows like key. So you're still gonna need to either, you know, find an illegal key or buy a valid key.
Whoa. We're not suggesting anybody gets an illegal key.
No, of course not.
No.
I'm not gonna suggest cheating in games as John and I did during the GP.
Oh man, that was so brutal.
Massive when you cheated?
Yeah, massive cheats, man.
Why?
I cheated a number of times on the day, not really realizing it. Well, one of the times I did realize it, and I took it back. I took it back. Because
takesies, backsies? And then he's like, nah, I can't let you do that. And you're like, oh, okay.
The best part is my opponent, like, was crushing me so bad that he didn't notice, first of all, and didn't care. Like, he was kind of just like, oh, like, almost said, like, just leave it. Like,
What did you do? What's the story?
So here's what happened. I go turn one land. He goes turn one. Well, he goes turn one Deathrite Shaman. And I'm like, oh, that's sweet. I'm like, no, I go turn one land. he goes turn with Deathrite Shaman. And I'm like, okay, turn to Wall of Roots, right? Now, my deck really needs mana. Like, I was playing the Kiki Jiki Pod deck, and you really need your mana. If you don't get your manas, you lose the game. So he goes turn to Liliana of the Veil, sack a dude. And I go, okay. So I sack my wall, and then I play a land, and I say go. And he goes, all right, discard a card. And then I, in response, play my Is It Staticaster? But all I had in lands was like a Gavity Township, the blue red land?
Steam Vents?
Steam Vents, a Steam Vents, and then the filter land that you can filter for green and, you know, Firelit Thicket. So I had a Firelit Thicket, a Steam Vents, and a freaking Gavity. So I flash it in at the end of turn, and then he's like, okay. And I go to untap, and I was going to play something else. I don't remember what I had. And then I'm like, oh, wait a second. I can't cast that because this is a filter land, so I can only put, like, double red or double green, you know? And he's like, oh, okay. Like, didn't matter. He's like, untap, turn three Bloodbraid Elf with this Liliana in play, and then, like, get a Tarmogoyf or something. I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm just dead. I just scooped it. I'm like, all right, yeah, I get it.
Fuck.
Yeah, it was the most, like, I had played Jund four or five times on the day, and I lost to Jund once, and that was the match that I lost, was when his game one was like Deathrite Shaman, Liliana, Bloodbraid, and then his game two was like turn three Olivia, shoot all your mana dorks and destroy you.
Seems pretty good.
Yeah, it was all right. It was sweet draws.
Overall, I had a sick weekend, and huge thanks to our boy Scotty Mac here.
Who
who was like the megastar in my heart, obviously. Yeah.
Well, you know, as I said to PV, you know, PV, apparently I can't play Magic worth a shit. But I can rock a mic and throw a fucking party.
And what did he say?
He nodded in agreement, of course.
But I can't believe how much he was fucking rocking that Call Me Maybe fucking song. Unfucking believable.
The entire table was insane. Yeah, so okay. So let's go through. Let's recount the weekend.
Yeah.
Like I tried to do it in my article on Legit MTG. So if you guys haven't checked that out, you should, because all of the actual relevant Magic content and some of the social stuff is there. So if you're interested in how the tournament went, you can read that. For those playing along at home, I dropped after round 8 after my third loss because I had to go and get ready for the party. If I had kept in one more round, yeah, I might have been able to place above John with my buys if I had won, but that's fine. I'm okay with that. I had a party to run, and it was awesome. So
or what could have happened is he could have also lost again and then placed like far, far below me.
That's so completely possible too. I guess we'll have to like do this again in Calgary. So
I mean, yeah, we could do it again for you to like not lose because I actually just won, right?
Yeah. You know what's interesting? Because like there's this thing that we did last night. It's a stream at twitch.tv/legitmtg, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Where Jonathan actually bashed his pod deck up against mine for two, and I actually made him look terribly foolish. Because as he said, like, he learned his lesson, because if I don't get mana, I lose, when I destroyed it all. So it was pretty good. You guys can go and check that out.
Yeah, but his sweet deck running main deck Fulminator Mages, which obviously got him really far in the GP.
Hey, listen,
haven't we
man.
Been talking about that for like a long time? I don't even play Modern, and I know that.
Yeah.
So yeah, he luckily luck sacked a couple Fulminator Mages, and then double blood braided me, and then got there. You know, what are you gonna do?
It's John, man.
You get double blood braided and Fulminator Mages and lightning bolted out of the game sometimes.
Yeah, that sometimes happens. Shit. I guess John does what it does, right? But anyway,
piece of shit you
I guess it didn't do what it did on Saturday, though. But
well,
I
no,
mean,
no, actually, yeah. truth be told, the deck was fine. I fucking punted like a fiend all day. It was really bad, and I recount a bunch of it, and it's just really tough for me to handle, because, like, I mean, I worked really hard for this, and I did a lot of practice, and I put in, you know, a lot of time, and to have it all just, like, fall apart was really actually not that easy on me. And it's still really hard. So I'm, I got to run it back. I mean, that's the only answer to try to do this. Like, what do we do when we fall, KYT?
Oh.
Oh, you see what I did there?
Dude, whoa! You don't even know the Batman
quote? Learn to pick ourselves up.
That's right.
Let's talk a little bit about that, Scott. I'm giving you a bunch of crap right now, but yeah. I was also very sad to see. I didn't
no,
watch.
You weren't?
Yeah, I was. I was sad on the inside, man.
He's like, "Ah, oh, you suck, Scott." Deep inside.
No. Cool. You were. It was actually KYT who was like pitting us against each other.
Yeah, I know.
Because KYT was like, "John,
yeah,
you're doing better than Scott. What's going on here, John?" And then like every round, he's like, "How are you doing?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm still like X and one." And he's like, "Man, you might beat Scott." And I'm like, "Dude, I'm not like competing against Scott, you know?" So I didn't get to watch many of your games. I got to watch maybe one.
Yeah, that was the Black White Tokens game 3, where I cracked a fetch when I didn't need to, and when not doing so would have actually left me with one more turn, which would have given me one more top deck, but more importantly, like, would have put me in a much better position to be able to attack. Also, I made like a terrible blocking decision that game as well, which we talked about with Spirits and Mikaeus and all that stuff. And that all, like, those two things for sure definitely cost me that game. Like, so those two combinations.
Would
two
you
errors.
Say that it really was your play, or did you just get bad beats? Like, what do you really think? Like,
well, it's a bit of both, right? Like, okay, so three buys, I sit down round 4 against Lucas Ciao. Like, the guy who started on my stream, you know, he was my first guest for Modern Mastery, like, you know, it's like, fuck, right?
I read about that, actually. I didn't even know that you played him,
yeah.
And you didn't mention that on Saturday.
No.
So when I was reading your article, I was like, oh, man, this is so poetic that it starts with the guy, you know, who
yeah.
started
and,
with on
and that's exactly what I said to him. Like, it has to be you, right? Like, I looked at the pairings, and I actually openly laughed. I'm like, really? Okay, well, I guess this is going to be how the day's going to go, right? and it was, like, I mean, game 1, I kept a perfectly serviceable hand. Like, I absolutely had the right hand, and he just, like, he won the roll, but that's fine. Like, I'm on, like, Shaman, Bolt, Bob, 3 lands. I'm like, I totally keep that hand. Like, that's like Sneep, right? And so I go, all right. So he goes, like, turn 1, Blackleaf Cliffs, and I'm all right. So, like, turn 1, Blackleaf Cliffs, Shaman. He goes, all right, Bolt. I'm like, shit. He untaps and goes, like, Stomping Grounds and Thoughtseize, or Inquisition, rather. Take your Bob. I'm like, well, this hand just went to shit. And then I proceed to see no more spells. Like, I literally ripped lands after lands after lands after lands. So, like, despite playing fetch lands like a fiend, like, it was just shit happens, right? Like, you can't win if you don't draw cards. Like, it is. And, of course, he's like, Tarmogoyf. I'm like, yeah, it's good now. So, anyways, so that was game 1. And then, like, game 2, I got stuck on 3 lands. Like, I just literally, I fought as best I could, but, I mean, I literally just had 3 lands, and you can't win if you don't have 4 to cast the 2 Bloodbraid Elves in your hand. So, you know, it is what it is. So it was a little rough, you know, opening up that way. So in that case, yeah, it was rough. Like, I'm not saying that I would have definitely won. Lucas is a fucking master Jund right now. Like, it's dumb. But I didn't really feel like I was even in the games. Like, the way I put it, somebody asked me, they're like, so how you doing? I'm like, I don't think my deck has woken up yet. Like, it's still fucking sleeping. So I'll let you know, you know? So that was rough. And then my first game, my next game was against that white-black list. And I was just like, I just, like, fucking got the daggers from Lucas. Game 1 was tough. And I got basically just swarmed and beat. Game 2, I got there. I landed sword early, and it was really not much of a contest after that. And then, you know, game 3, like you saw, I had a bad block. And then, you know, it cost me a significant amount of time. In the future, and then, like I said, missing out on that last critical turn could have turned the tide, but as it stands, you know, it was just bad. So, like, I definitely played poorly in that one. I mean, like, game 2 was tight. Game 1, I did the best I could, but, like, his deck is what it is. And game 3, I punted, so, I mean, shit happens. Next game, I sit down against Corey, which is sick. That was, like, actually one of the most, like, amazing fucking games of sets of Magic that I played in the last, you know, 3 months. It was pretty awesome. peeled like a god, like got every single card that I needed right on time, had all the mana. Like, it was, I don't know what else to tell you, man. Like, I played it as best I could and the cards came, so I won, right? Mm-hmm. And then the next one, and the one I'm most proud of, actually, was my red-green Tron matchup, because, like, I should have, by all accounts, just fucking folded. Like, this was a guy, I can't even remember his name, I want to say it's, like, Mike or something, but he was the guy that was there with Huey and Reed and Owen, and he's actually a pro from days gone by, apparently. Mm-hmm. And so I sat down with him, and he was just, like, such a nice guy. He whiffed on a couple key ancient stirrings, which gave me a little bit of time, to not have to fight off, like, turn 3 fucking worm coils or Karns. So, mm-hmm. I was able to clock enough to get there. And then, game 2, he lands turn 3 Karn, or turn 3 worm coil, and that's tough to deal with, followed by Karn. That was really hard to deal with. And then, like, game 3 was tight. Like, it was a really good matchup back and forth, and we, both played around a bunch of stuff, and it was a really good matchup. Like, there was some really good magic that was happening in that one, and I pulled it out, and it was awesome. I may have got a little fortunate with some of my draws, but you know what? Like, I played really good magic in that match, and that's what was important. So, I felt pretty good. I beat, like, my absolute worst matchup. I sit down in the last round that I played to sit down against a pod player who, as it turns out, actually had a feature match the round before and lost. So, like, he was an X1 in feature, and I didn't realize until after I went back, and it was like, I want to say it's like Jason Liu or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on basically, like, I think it was pretty much the same pod deck as Aralax was on, or very, mm-hmm. very similar. Game 1, I get fucking raped by Staticaster. I'm sorry, I can't say that anymore. I get absolutely brutalized. I'm kidding.
All right.
I get absolutely brutalized. Like, it was a savage beating, blown out by Is It Staticaster. And it proceeds. Yeah, it's pretty good. So it proceeds to, like, destroy all 4 of my Lingering Souls tokens in one shot and allows him to win the game. Second game, I keep what I think is a perfectly good hand of, like, I go down to 6, I'm on the play. I can't really go down to 5, but I've got, like, Shaman, Terminate, Goyf, Blackleaf Flips. And, like, although it was a tough one, I'm like, if I peel any land, fetch or otherwise, if my opponent plays a single fetch land, like, I'm 100% in business here, right? So,
Really, because you cast your Tarmogoyf, but then it's like, you can't be guaranteed a land, so you might just be sitting there with a Goyf and a Shaman that can't really...
But, I mean, realistically, like, if I peel any of my own fetch lands, like, I can search for the lands to just terminate. And then I have time, right? Like, the Tarmogoyf will be big by the time I drop it. Like, that was where my headspace was.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, worst case is I could just, like, 2-2-2 with Shaman if I need to. Like, it's fine. Like, what am I going to... I'm not worried about his fucking wall of roots. Like, it's not a big deal. The problem was is he fucking queued up on turn 4 with Sigarda before I was able to draw another land. So, like, I mean, that card's pretty good against Jund if you can't cast a Lingering Souls. So, that's basically how that ended up playing. It was a terrible keep. Like, in hindsight, it was a terrible keep because nothing came, right? Might I have been able to get a better 5? Maybe. If I were on the draw, I would have snapballed that in a second. Like, my main concern was how many more lands am I going to get with removal and a threat? You know what I mean? So it was tough. Like, in that matchup also, I'm boarding in, like, Olivia's. So, like, the curve generally goes up. So, I mean, having the quick mana in Shamans was really relevant. Having 2, like, straight-up kill spells was really relevant for me, plus a threat. Like, it was a really good hand. And like I said, any other situation, like, on the draw, that's a snap ball because I have another chance at a card. So that's why I kept it. In hindsight, it was bad. It was definitely not the right decision. But I made it. I got fucking crushed on it. And that was my day. So after, getting blown out by Staticaster and, obviously tilting a little and keeping a bad hand, I looked at the clock and I'm like, I'm X3. I'm out of day 2 contention. It's like 45 minutes until our party starts. And I've been, sitting around sweaty guys all day. So I'm going to go to the hotel. I'm going to check in. I'm going to shower. And then I'm going to go and get our party started. So that's literally how it went for me. That's what ended up happening. And you know what? It is what it is. It was a day out. I had some of the most amazing times I had. I just played like absolutely hell. I don't know what else to tell you in terms of, you know, there was a lot going on, a lot on my mind that wasn't Magic. Like, I didn't have the same focus for this tournament, strangely enough, as I did for the last GPT that I took down. The focus was radically different. Yeah. And it was only until I was like out of the situation that I was able to really figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My day went different. Yeah. I thought I had no buys. So I started off, like, first of all, I wasn't even going to play in this tournament. I brought, like, what resembled a pod deck from, like, one of the MTGO dailies because I figured you want to test against pod.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, I got kind of a pod deck, and I'm like, I'm just going to drive up there and trade. So I drove up with Taylor, and Taylor, like, the whole time was like, dude, you should play. You should play, man. You should play. I'm like, dude, I don't want to play. Like, I just want to trade. Like, so I got there and I hadn't decided yet, so I started like kind of like looking at the trade tables, and there's just like a bunch of sharks, and I'm like, oh man, I don't want to like sit there and like jack off all day with these guys, you know what I mean? Like, these guys, they're just like, oh man. So I'm just like, they're kind of the worst. Like, I like hanging out with the guys, like, don't get me wrong, you know, and trading with some of them is okay, but trading with other ones, like, did you guys get to meet Noah Winston?
Yep.
Okay, so I literally scooped my cards and was like, you know what? F this deal, F you, it's done. Like, scooped up the cards and was going to put them away. That's how much dealing with him. And this is after a half an hour of jerking each other off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this is how my trade stuff went on Sunday. Anyways, spoiler alert, I didn't make day two. So my day started with, finally I put the deck together. I'm like, okay, I'll play, whatever. And I was hoping to get a playmat. Like, when you register, you're supposed to get this, like, blue dragon playmat. That didn't work out because they were out of them because I waited too long.
Yeah, way to go.
So I'm just like, what a blowout. So I go, first round, I go look, and it's, I have a buy. And I'm like, oh, I have a buy. This is awesome. I'm kind of hungry. So I went to Tim Hortons because the only reason I went there is because Jay Bush mentioned it.
It's the best.
Yeah, he's like, oh yeah, Tim Hortons the best. And you said something about this huge coffee or something. The
Big Beaver.
Right? Yeah, the Big Beaver.
Wow.
I couldn't remember what it was called, so I had to get a regular coffee because I didn't want to sound like an idiot and be like,
you bag of shit.
I didn't want to be like, what's that big coffee that Jay Bush talks about? I'm looking for.
Yeah, so, you should have just tweeted me.
Wait, what's that coffee called, bro? You're like, the Big Beaver.
The motherfucking Big Beaver.
So I went to Tim Hortons.
Like, oh shit, Tim Hortons lady, give me Big Beaver. And then you're putting it punched out.
I went to Tim Hortons. I got some breakfast sandwiches, and I started playtesting with some guys who are playing mono red. They totally annihilated me. And he's like, dude, I think you play too aggressive, right? Because I'm just like, yeah, pod, whatever. I'm turned to, you know, taking the life. And so I go, maybe I am playing too aggressive. So I like contemplated that. And so my first two rounds were also pretty much buys. I played against Jun both rounds, and these guys were not familiar with Jun deck, or I don't know, they drew like crap or something, because they would like tap out for like Bloodbraid Elves and stuff, which is pretty sweet for me, because then I just get to kill them with a combo. So that happened a lot. Like, he would tap, like, there's one guy tapped all his mana except for his Treetop Village, and I was like, is he like next level of me with like a Dismember or something? I'm like, I'm just going to go for it. We'll see what happens. So beat those guys, and then I was like in it, right? I was like 3-0 going, and pretty much it just went the same. Like, I just went like X and 1, and then I started to lose. I beat my best my worst matchup, which is blue-white control. I beat that with a what's it called? Grand Abolisher. So, like, I have a Restoration Angel in play. This is game two. He got game one, obviously, because he has, like, Cryptic Commands and Path to Exile and all this stuff. So he has a Baneslayer Angel in play, and I have a Restoration Angel and a bunch of lands in a pod. So I'm like, well, I guess I'm just going to play this. He's at, like, 100 life or whatever. I'm like, I guess I'm just going to play this Birds as a blocker. And he looks at me, and he just shrugs. He's like, yeah, okay, whatever. So then I just pod the Birds into the Grand Abolisher, right? And then he looks at the Grand Abolisher, then he reads pod, like, because he wants to try to respond or something, you know? And I'm like, yeah, dude, that thing is in there. And I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna court a call.
That thing is in there.
I was like, I'm gonna court a call in for Kiki Jiggy, and kill you. So that's what I did. So
I'm gonna do court a calling for Kiki Jiggy, and then I'm gonna kill you. Okay, bro.
Oh man.
Wait. I want to respond. Like, no, that thing, no, you can't it's in there.
This abolisher is abolishing.
It's in there. You've been abolished. You've just been abolished.
So
let me tell you what's gonna happen.
I'm gonna make a copy and do it again and again and again. So yeah, I got him in that game. Game three, I got him because I also played the lame duck in game three. This guy's kind of aggressive, you know. I started to pick that up. He's like kind of aggressive, like control player. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, I'm just not going to play anything this turn. I'm going to tap like enough so that I don't have a Restoration Angel open. And then I'm like, so I played like a two drop, like a wall. And then I passed it, right? Like, oh, I got nothing. Like, so then he went on the offensive. He had his own Restoration Angel. He activates his Celestial Colonnade and tries to just start throttling me. And then I combusted it. I combusted his colonnade, and then it got down to turns, and basically I comboed him on like turn four, and he had one card in hand. I had a combo him, so I combo him on turn four. I drop my Kiki Jiki. I'm like, all right, bro, that's what I got. What do you got? And then he's just staring at the card in his hand, and he's like looking at his graveyard, looking at the card in his hand. And this is like turn four of turns, and like, I mean, if he's got it, he's got it, right? So I'm just like, what do you got, man? I'm like, dude, stop, like, you know, looking at your cards. Like, just play it. What is it? Like, I'm like, is it like a Cryptic Command? What is it? If it's a Snapcaster Mage, I'm dead because he has a path in the yard, right? So he's like looking. He's like, all right. And he drops it on the table. It's a Restoration Angel. And he has a Snapcaster in play. So he can Restoration Angel the Snapcaster. But his only other source of white mana was that colonnade that I combusted. So he couldn't, like, Restoration Angel path. So I won the game. Fast forward, I'm 6-2, and this is my winning in, right? So I go to the board and read it. I have to play against Jonathan Bentley. Do you guys know who this guy is?
Yeah. No. He's a mana-deprived guy.
He's a writer. And I'm going to be honest, because I know he's listening, right? So he's going to get a kick out of this. So I'm like, I'm feeling pretty good, because I'm like 6-2, and I didn't even practice Modern. I'm playing like this complicated deck. I just crushed my like blue-white, you know, my hardest matchup. I'm like, dude, I'm the best, you know? I'm like, Jonathan Bentley, he ain't got nothing on me, right? So I sit down, and I totally underestimate this guy, right? I'm like Jonathan Bentley, he can't be as good as me as Magic right now, you know. I got this in the bag. So I start playing against him, and that like lack of respect made me play like more aggressive and less safe, you know. And like he was playing Rug Delver, so he had like lightning bolts and stuff, so he would like lightning bolt like two of my creatures. And so I'm just like, there's no way this guy has, like, he has, like, one card in hand left. I'm like, there's no way he's got another lightning bolt. I'm not going to respect it. I'm just going to slam this thing and just, like, jam it. And every freaking time, he had, like, the thing he needed. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, oh, man. Like, but, like, if I would have played differently, if I would have played more conservatively and, like, not just ran all my resources out there into lightning bolts, I think I would have been fine. But that's the lesson, man. You know, when you get too cocky and you don't respect somebody, you know, they just destroy you. And it wasn't even close. Like, he had full, like, control of the games at all times. And I was under the illusion that I was, like, winning at some points. But I know he had it in the bag, you know. So he crushed me, put me out of game two. I mean, put me out of day two. And then I went to the Mana Deprived party, which was insane. It was like the best time I've ever had at a Magic tournament.
Sweet.
Yeah, man. I mean, nobody does that kind of stuff around here. Like, I've had, like, good dinners, you know? Like, where, like, me and a bunch of traders or me and a bunch of dudes will go out and, like, eat and, like, talk and, like, laugh and stuff.
Yeah.
But this was, like, insane, man, you know? Like, it was just, like, there was lots of aspects. There was, you know, they had good people there. The food was pretty good. You know, Scotty Mac was killing it on the karaoke. Like, I walked in to the party and I hear Informer, like, on the loudspeaker, you know? And I'm like, man, I haven't heard this song in a long time. I'm like, this is pretty badass, you know? Just, like, chilling. And, like, I walk over to, like, find a seat. And then I'm like, oh, man. I'm like, Scotty Mac is singing that song? Like, I thought it was, like, just playing, like, on the radio. I'm like, so that was my first thought. My second thought is, I'm not going to do karaoke tonight. Because there's no way I'm going to follow that up.
Like, yeah, no way.
No way. So, yeah.
Man, you guys are pussies.
Still was a good time. Well, you should have came and showed us up, bro.
Oh, man, you would have been showing up.
So, I have to give, like, honorable karaoke mention and, like, you know, full-on karaoke respect to Seth Black. Seth did, like, an unbelievable Doors Roadhouse Blues. I've got to give it as well to, actually, your opponent that you just mentioned also.
John did a,
that's right. He did a really good job also.
He did all right.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he was good enough. And then also Jeff Foster, obviously, like, monster shout-outs to Jeff Foster.
Who's the guy who did Rebel Yell?
Oh, I don't know, but he was good too.
Holy shit! Somebody did Rebel Yell.
Yeah, that's good.
And it was right after Scotty. Like, it was right after Scotty. He was just like killing it, and I'm just like, what the hell is this? Like a professional karaoke call? Like,
that's, you know what? It's so funny because everybody's
this a professional,
like,
professional karaoke club.
Everybody's the worst. Everybody's like,
good Jay.
Everybody's like, you know, I don't know. You're doing karaoke at a magic party. I'm like, trust me. Just trust me. It's going to be amazing. Magic players and karaoke is unreal. And they're like, okay. Yeah, that's why. Because everybody is so good.
Yeah,
that was fucking sweet. Holy shit.
That was a good impression of John.
Professional karaoke club?
Perfect pitch. Perfect pitch.
But yeah, it was a pretty good night. I have to tell you, the videos are still piling in. I think KYT still has some that haven't actually been published yet.
Yep.
But it was a really good time, and I hope that everybody enjoyed themselves. I seriously hope that everybody from, you know, SCG and CFB that came enjoyed themselves as well. And, you know, I'm pretty sure they did. I don't recall there being a single person that left there without a smile on their face, unless they were holding back vomit from drinking too much. Rich Hohen, I'm looking at you. But aside from that, I think everybody handled themselves really well. And
now, what about
really
KYT? Like, KYT, you did okay at this GP, right?
I did okay.
Tell the listeners how you did.
I finally, after many, many day twos in a row and failing to cash bomb day two, I did not bomb day two of this GP. So very happy about that.
Now, so you ended up like 35th?
35th, yeah.
Yeah.
Holy so, like, shit, out of how many?
1,052 was the final count.
Holy.
Are you proud of me?
Yeah,
oh,
buddy.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of KYT.
Yeah, buddy.
He did better than both Reed Duke and PV.
Yeah.
Man, PV's the worst. I knew it.
That guy can't play magic.
No, that guy just call me maybe all day. Maybe you should practice tapping it sideways, okay? Maybe you should just...
Oh, man. He also sang A Whole New World. With that other dude.
With Huey Jensen. Yeah.
From fucking Lion King?
Aladdin.
From Aladdin.
Or, I mean, Aladdin?
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
It was a really good time. Like, the party was just ridiculous. So KYT, so you ended up getting in, and you had two buys, and you also VIP'd it up with me. So tell me first what you thought about your VIP experience.
It was great. Well, sleeping in was important just because...
It was great.
What is this? A professional karaoke club? yeah, it was awesome. And to obviously get there later, because, you know, I didn't want Scott to have to drive us to the venue early just because I had zero buy. So having the VIP was a huge plus to be able to go in, because some GPs, you can only do that if you have just three buys. If you have, you have to have three buys to do any sort of sleep-in special. But the last two that I've done in Canada have been more flexible than that. And just having to be in the same area was pretty cool. And I got to know the other, like the person to my left and the person to my right that also had VIP. So that was pretty cool too.
Yeah. So like generally, to put this into perspective, like most of the tables are the same size, right? So like every time you go to one of these things, there's like six players to a table and, you know, you're like crammed in. And it's like fucking cans, you know, sardines in a can. So in the VIP area, they had basically like five players to the two tables. So it was like two and a half per table, which actually ended up being like super sweet, because it was like exactly the right amount of space for your playmat and the whatever shit you've got on either side of you, like a drink and a deck box and all that sort of stuff. And you still weren't like rubbing elbows with your neighbors.
Yeah, rubbing like love handles.
Yeah, so it was really good. Like, it was definitely very comfortable. They put us right at the head tables too, so we actually had our backs to the door, which ended up being pretty sweet, because like as people are, but it's like way far away, but like we're the first row to the door, so as like the doors open and close, people going in and out for smokes and stuff, you're getting that little breeze, which generally keeps the area a lot cooler than if you're like way in the back in the middle, fucking like getting stuffed by neckbeards on all sides, you know? It was like way more comfortable.
It's like a porn.
Yeah. Not a very good one either.
No.
Anyways, go on, KYT.
Surprise.
So I ended up bringing Zoo to the tournament, which I talked about on the show, on our semi-show, let's say, last week. And you know, just it was a deck list that I found by Reed Duke, and he 4-0'd a daily with it. But the problem with it, I played a bunch of games, won a few 8-mans, and did extremely well in the 2-mans online, but every single friend, close friend of mine that I highly regard in the game, like Alex, John Stern, who ended up top 8-ing the GP, told me that the list looked like shit. So I couldn't have anybody to really work on the list, because most people, like, the only thing they had as feedback is like, don't play the deck. So that was their feedback. So, you know, I went from being a guy who used to play Jerry's Exact 75, if you guys still remember that, to someone who is beginning to trust his own choices more. After having, you know, played other people's Exact 75 and really regretting not just going with my gut. So I did go with this list and, you know, played pretty smoothly. X2 into day two, started off the day 2-0, so I'm like, I'm not KYTing it this time. And had a shot, really had a good shot. One of my losses in day one was to my friend John Stern, which I just mentioned, who ended up making top 8. And one of my other losses on day two was to another friend, Ben Moore, who ended up having to play his last round. One of the X2 or 3s to have to play the last round and not be able to draw in, but he ended up losing. So I was close, and I was happy to at least, I didn't play any pros at all. So I don't know how many more famous people you guys played. I did end up beating Jacob Wilson on day two, who won the GP with Spirit John, so I was pretty happy about that. And overall felt pretty good about my performance. Like, the deck is good.
Would you play it again?
I would definitely play it again.
What changes would you make?
So for some reason, so like I was saying, how no one wanted to help me, but funnily enough, Mark's son and Bryce Manard were up at like an obscene hour to help me finalize a sideboard. And I don't know, I don't even know why I listened to Mark's son, because it's not like he's, you know, he's a Legacy superstar who hasn't done shit all in Legacy, but has top 8-ed a standard event, right? It's like, it doesn't even make any sense. But
It doesn't even make any sense.
It doesn't even make. He's like a legacy superstar who hasn't done shit in legacy and has top aided a standard event. It doesn't even make any sense.
It doesn't, right?
No, it doesn't at all.
But one time, like, he's willing to work with me. He's willing to you know, I should show him the deck. He doesn't, like, criticize my choice. He's actually like, so what matchups do you want to... I'm trolling him, but he was a huge help. What matchups do you want to beat? What matchups do you want to lose to? Even though he doesn't play modern, he was really trying to help me out. And so he helped me out with 4 Molten Rains in the sideboard, adding the 3 Thought Seizes in the sideboard. But... The one card that I didn't end up playing, which is weird because I listened to Mark to put this card in my sideboard, but I never used it, which was Sulfur Elemental, which is a card that is meant, because we were brainstorming ways to break the Lingering Souls mirror, but the problem is that I'm also playing Lingering Souls. So Sulfur Elemental would only be good if somehow you got your opponent to overcommit on the souls, and then you... like slam down sulfur to punish them. Otherwise,
which seems like a really narrow and having, you know,
right,
having to be perfect situation.
Right, right. So I couldn't see, like, I didn't know, and my deck itself was almost pre-sideboarded against Jun, so I never brought them in. So those are the cards I would think about cutting, and not to worry too much about the Jun matchup, just because, like, your Lingering Souls will trade with their Lingering Souls, and then it's like your burn spells versus, you know, their removal spells. And my record against Jun might have been just a match or two. Like, I faced it all tournament, and maybe I've been 1 or 2 matches above 500, but it really felt like a top deck war. So I wouldn't really want to sideboard for that matchup and just focus on the other matchups.
Yeah.
Now, but, why wouldn't you run something like Staticaster or like Cunning Spark Mage instead of Sulfur Elemental?
So Bryce, like, we talked about Staticaster, but we didn't feel like it advanced to Zooplan because it didn't do any damage. So Bryce actually said, like, hey, actually Cunning Spark Mage, if we're going to play Staticaster, Cunning Spark Mage is probably a better version of that. So we did think about that.
But also helps you win Tarmogoyf Wars too if you need to, right?
Right. So maybe that could be played. But
it sounds like you don't even need them. It sounds like you just need to just play a little bit different, or like,
right,
you know,
right.
Yeah.
Now you did get crushed by Mike Dubbs, if I'm not mistaken.
I did get crushed by Mike Dubbs.
He was playing Greenoid Hate Bears. And most importantly, he was playing a really spicy little artifact in his sideboard.
He wasn't playing Hate Bears.
What was he playing?
He was actually playing Jund.
Oh, was he?
Right. Like, if it's one of our fans playing me.
Yeah.
What artifact did he have?
He had Ward of Light and Shadow, which is obviously a layer of Lingering Soul.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, I think he came up to us after. He was like, oh, I totally crushed KYT with your tech.
Yep. And yeah. It's so crazy that I'm the one that's getting, like, credit for that. There were probably more Sword of Light and Shadows in sideboards this weekend than, like, in the last 3 months. Like, yeah. It's crazy.
That's the other thing about Canada. Like, I have a bunch of fans in Canada. I didn't even know this, man. I show up and I feel like a freaking superstar. I'm signing playmats and freaking, you know, just like left and right. I'm just like, dude, this is way different than like a US GP where they like spit on me and call me a dirtbag.
Yeah. And I told him, Jay, it's because it was an Eastern GP and not a Western one.
Yeah.
Because the people out there are, yeah.
Yeah, I guess if I go to your neck of the woods, I just get my ass kicked instead.
Hopefully.
Oh, man.
But yeah, it was actually just a really amazing experience to have, you know, everybody coming up to us, and there were so many people that came up and said, you know what, like, I really like what you guys are doing at the show, like... And I mean, we had some pretty prominent Canadian players as well that like just totally surprised me. We're like just about ready to sit down and do a draft you know, just to kind of like close out the day. And like Sammy T comes up to me, and for those of you that are in like the Toronto area, you guys know who Sammy T is. Like, he is a prominent Canadian PTQ grinder. He is a, you know, he is a good player. And like Sammy T and I, like, I've seen Sammy at a bunch of different events all around, and like I knew who he was, and we never really like interacted, but you know, he comes up to me and he's like, "Hey Scotty, how'd you do?" What? Like, mind blown. I'm like, oh, I did okay, Sammy. Like, he actually ended up playing beside me in round 8. So he was playing against Sam Parody, actually.
And didn't he top 8?
Yeah, Sam ended up losing in the finals. But so Sammy T sits down and he's playing his twin deck, and he's doing, you know, he's doing fine, and he's obviously doing quite well in the tournament. But like, when I saw him later, he's just like, "Yeah, how are you doing?" And I was just like, "Well," and I like told him straight up, act like it was totally normal and natural. And he's probably hearing this right now, and it was really funny. So Sammy, I thought it was pretty awesome, and he proceeded to tell me that, "Yeah, you know what? I didn't listen to your show before. I started picking it up fairly recently, and you guys are fucking awesome, like so hilarious. So I just wanted to say, you know, like, thank you for doing it, because it, you know, I never miss it. I catch it every week."
You're welcome, bro.
Right? I was just like, thank you for treating me like a person, like, at, yeah, it's awesome, you're welcome. You know, so it was like stuff like that happened all weekend, and it was just so amazing, and I completely appreciate absolutely every single one of you guys that like what we do and continue to support us in it, because you know what, we do it for you guys, and I mean, like, we have fun, but if you guys didn't listen, we wouldn't do it. So just so awesome, and it was really nice to like have that being at home feeling and really repping you all. So it was pretty sick.
Yeah. Thanks for making us feel like superstars, even though we're just these geeks who play this card game.
Yeah, the most amazing thing for me was Friday night when we were on site, after we had come back from Zets for dinner. Everybody that saw me was like, Scotty Mac. I'm like, yeah. They're like, what do you think of the sideboard? I'm like, do this. Okay. And, like, just so many people were coming up to me, like, my opinion means anything. It was so awesome, because that never happens.
Nobody asked me for sideboard advice, though.
Yeah.
They're like, "Can you sign this?" I'm like, "You want to trade, guys?" They're like, "Yeah."
We're just here for sideboard advice. You go away.
Yeah. I thought it was really sweet. So, like, I'm glad that at least people recognize that I have some idea of what's actually happening in the format. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so Mike Dubs did beat me games 2 and 3 with the Sword of Light and Shadow. That's another card we did think about in our brainstorming, late night brainstorming session, or like one copy of Thunder Maw Hellkite was also an idea that we had.
Yeah, like that turned out to be a pretty good idea, huh? Since those top 8 lists have the Thunder Maw, they have that Thunder Maw action going on.
So we actually rejected the idea in the zoo list because we thought 5 was harder to get in the zoo deck. So, yeah. So, but somehow I ended up listening to like the worst idea, which was the Sulfur Elemental. Though, if Mark's son were to listen to this,
Thunderbolt Hellkite, let's go to the Sulfur Elemental instead. That's probably way better.
Cutting Spark Mage is even make any sense.
Cutting Spark Mage is interesting because if Pod was somewhat relevant, it at least, or like, it kills like the mana dork, just like Staticaster would kill all the mana dorks. So maybe I would run that instead, actually, those guys, because they actually kill those mana dorks.
Yeah, and they can deal damage right as well.
You walked up right on one of my matches when Staticaster was just doing work, man. It was like, I was on the play on like Birds of Paradise Go. I was playing against this Hate Bear deck, and the guy's like, "Noble Hierarch," and I'm like, "Oh gosh, this is gonna be a slaughtering," and I'm just like, "Land Staticaster, shoot your Hierarch, go." Mm-hmm. And then he's like, "Thalia," and I'm like, "Shoot your Thalia."
Now, the other thing you may want to consider, and this is what I saw Willie put to, like, Willie Edel ended up winning the tournament, and he was playing like 2 Grim Laphomancers in the 75, one in the main and one on the board, and what I watched him put that to really good effect was against cards like Deathrite Shaman, even. Right, so that way you can like save your bolts for bigger stuff, and you're able to take down the X2s, which there are a lot more of. So, you know, you're basically cracking a million fucking fetch lands, and you've got, you know, all of the instants in the world. maybe that's something to consider. Plus, he's really effective on mana.
Yeah, that might actually be better, because it's earlier, and you sort of, on the play, can... Because I don't have acceleration, so on the play, I can play that guy, Grimlav Master, and let's say against John, he's like, fuck, like, my turn one play was like a birds, and then it's like, what do I do?
I'd still play the birds and hope you don't have, like, two things to put in the graveyard, right?
Right, right.
I'm not, you know... But I might run a Lava Mancer in pod.
Hmm.
I've been thinking about like Fight Bear or Lava Mancer as a one drop.
Oh, I think Fight Bear is ridiculous. I think personally Fight Bear is the way to go. But I mean, you can also just turn like you can't actually find Lava Mancer for yourself. Like you have to draw him. Like
Fauna Shaman.
Oh, you're playing Fauna. Oh, does Fauna Shaman run in that Lax list?
No, Lax is not running Fauna Shaman, but I added it because. That card is sick.
Doesn't even make any sense.
That card is pretty ballin'.
It doesn't play that card, but I put that card in because the card is fucking sick.
It's pretty good. I'll give it to you. You know what I do like is I like that a lot. That the format is finally settling into letting us play all of the good cards from fucking Zendikar block again. Right.
I was just repricing the Zendikar cards and the Rise cards on my website. All that stuff has gone up a little bit. You know. Yeah.
Did you see fucking Don Wiggins tweet about that?
Oh, he got pissed off, yeah.
he's like, oh, another enormous order from Legit MTG and fucking John Medina. I guess I must have had a bunch of stuff mispriced again.
every now and then I like to hit a store. Just like, I like to go to the behoover and just like...
And just find roll off.
Everything that's mispriced and just buy it all. He had a Thundermaw Hellkite. His Thunder Maws were like $38, and then he had a foil one for like
$37. Oh,
no. And I was like, yep. I was like, I'll take that. Oh, I'll buy that.
John Medina. Not even his friends are above getting skimmed.
Hey. I would expect the same from him. My buddy, he bought a foil. Freaking the green black filter land for me for like $14 or something. That's like a $20-something card. He was like, "Hey Medina, I just bought this for like $14. I hope you deliver on it. If you really want to keep it, I'll let you keep it because I'm your buddy." And I'm like, "No, dude, it was mispriced. You get to keep it. Whatever." So yeah, so that the pod list I added a Fauna Shaman. I played against this token deck online today. Oh, it wasn't tokens. It was that stupid... What is that thing? Soul Sisters, right?
Ugh.
So, check this out. I'm an idiot. I got my combo. I got my combo, and then I realized he had two of those Soul Sisters out. So I'm like, oh, well, that's okay. I'll just make a bunch of Restoration Angels. So I start making angels, and I'm like, wait a second. Because the angel removes the Kiki-Jiki, so the Kiki-Jiki comes back. So he gains 4 life for every angel I make, and he has one of those stupid, like, little Tarmogoyf guys that grows for every time he makes life.
The Johnny Pride mate?
Yeah. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't kill him. And I'm like, okay, this is stupid.
I'm just dead.
What the fuck?
So I'm like, okay, well, I have to block this stupid, like, Pride mate that's a 22-22 now. So I'm like, okay... Just like keep cool. I think I know what I'm gonna do. So what I end up doing is I cast a Fauna Shaman. Well, I make a Noble Hierarch at the end of his turn with my Kiki Jiki because I have one, and then I untap. I make a Fauna Shaman. I play a Fauna Shaman. I make a Fauna Shaman with Kiki Jiki, and then I use the Noble Hierarch for mana to cycle like some Glen Alondra Archmage or something, and go get a Staticaster. And then I Staticaster his Soul Sisters.
Nice.
And then, like, next turn, I don't think he realized what happened, because I'm like, yeah, kill your Soul Sisters. Next turn, I untap, and I start, like, making angels, and then he just doesn't respond to the trigger. So, like, it just sits there, and I'm like, oh, okay, maybe he's thinking about it. So, like, 5 minutes later, I'm like, I think he's like pissed off or something, like that I staticastered him out of the game.
Card's pretty good.
So yeah. I never got to finish that game because he just never responded.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, just like 15 minutes goes by and he's just like not responding. I'm like, okay. So if you're listening, you're a jerk, man.
You're a jerk, man.
I wanted to kill you.
But you wouldn't let me.
You wouldn't let me kill you.
What a butthole.
So that Ari Lax list is that's what I've been testing with online. I played something from a daily, which was like really heavy on the Wall of Roots. It had a Court of Calling. It only had two Kiki Jiki and like four Restoration Angels. So I was playing that list at the GP. The problem with that list is if you play a Mana Dork and they shoot it, then you kind of like probably lose the game most of the time. Like sometimes you can grind them out with Angel like Finks or something, but like your mana is really important. So Ari Lax's list has 10 one mana dudes. It has four Hierarch, four Birds, and two Pilgrim. I think it's Avacyn's Pilgrim or something. Which, by the way, don't make green mana. So that was kind of awkward in one of my games because I was like, yeah, tap out and then try to cast my birds off of Avacyn Pilgrim. So anyways, so I've been playing the Ari Lax list and I think it's better. I think it's better than the list I played. It lets you have enough mana dorks to like play another one after they kill it. You know, it has two Gavinny Township, which can win the game by itself. Many times I've used Gavinny Township to just lock the game down with Glen Elantra Archmage. So, like, I'll just counter their spell and then the Township to get under counter and then just, like, counter their spell again, you know, stuff like that.
Nice. It looks like Rugged Prairie is actually one of the most important lands in your deck.
Yeah, the mana is a little weird like that because, like, without Rugged Prairie, sometimes you can't cast Kiki Jiki. And it's just like, it's not, I don't know, I feel like the mana is not as good as the other list that I had. Mm-hmm. And you have to fetch, like, the Stomping Grounds, and then you have to fetch, like, the Hallowed Fountain. So you have to fetch you have to fetch for the four colors.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the other list, you didn't have to fetch for four colors. You can just kind of like work your way to that color. This list, you have to fetch for the four colors. So like if you have the green, red, like whatever, Grove of the Burn Willows,
yeah,
then you have to go get the Hallowed Fountain because you're going to need the mana in some capacity later.
Mm-hmm.
Like with the other one, I only had a couple of blue cards, but this is very heavy blue. It runs two of the freaking Deceiver Exarch.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great at like time walking your opponent. I always do like the birds, land birds go, my opponent will do something, and then sometimes I'll just be like, I did that to you actually. I tapped your Deathrite Shaman.
Yeah.
In your upkeep so that you couldn't like do like a Liliana or whatever. It didn't matter because you had like the Stone Nuts, like with the Lightning Bolt, Tarmogoyf, and Thoughtseize. But
all day, all the time.
Yeah, but sometimes that tempo play works.
Yep.
So it's heavier on the blue. It runs dispels in the sideboard, and the dispels have been insane.
Yeah,
they've been just really good.
Well, everything that's gonna kill your guys that's relevant is 100% instant speed, with the exception of like a Maelstrom Pulse. But like Path to Exile, Terminates, Dismembers, like any artifact removal spell that's worth its fucking dollar. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, so the spells are crazy. The sideboard is really, like you were saying off air, the sideboard is really good too. They have he has the three chalices, the three path.
Mm-hmm.
Path are insane. The chalices are insane, and the spells are really good. So like I board the spells in. It's funny because you get into this weird thing where you board the spells in and the chalices against like storm.
Yeah.
And then like you put it like down for like, if you put it down for two, they're just dead. They can't do anything. But sometimes I put it down for one because I feel like I'm going to get comboed sooner, you know?
Okay.
So I'll put it for one, and then they Echoing Truth it, right? And then that opens up my Dispel. So it's super weird because, like, Like, I just, like, I have a spell in my hand, I can't cast it, and then they're, like, echoing truth, and then they try to, like, seething song, and you're, like, dispel. it's so awesome. I don't know. So the deck, I really like Ari's list. The only change I made was I added a Fauna Shaman instead of one of the Wall of Omens.
Yeah.
And I really like that, you know. I also played it with he recommended running, like, instead of the other Sowing Salt, to run a, what do you call that guy, Avalanche Rider?
Yep. And yeah, didn't I talk to you about that guy?
Yeah, yeah. I used to run that in my old pod list, and it's pretty good with Restoration Angel, too. It's pretty good, so. So, yeah, so I'm probably running it like that. I might want a Fulminator Mage, a Singleton.
Yep.
Yeah, or another Fauna Shaman. Like, I don't know. I'm still kind of tuning the list a little bit. But the list by itself is really good. I really do like it.
Nice.
Sweet.
Sweet.
I was talking to Alex about Pod, and he's like, whatever you do, don't play Court of Calling and play Fauna Shaman. That's what he told me.
Yeah, Court of Calling is, like, I love that card because I like doing things at instant speed. I feel like, you know, oh, yeah, I can outplay my opponent by, like, surprising them with, like, crazy things. But it costs a lot of mana, and it just adds to the problem of the deck where the problem is, like, if you get off your mana, then it's hard to recover, you know? And then, okay. Like, if you get off your mana, like, if they're starting to bolt your stuff and you're not, like, hitting your land drops, and then you draw, like, a Court of Calling, you're like, oh, crap, like, this is the worst, you know? So I can see not running Court of Calling. And now that I've been playing Ari's list, it's very redundant. So, like, it has two Deceiver Exarchs, three Restoration Angels, and a Zealous Conscripts. So it has all those and four Kiki Jiki. So you natural draw the combo a lot. So you don't really need the Court of Calling to, like, go and tutor, you know?
Yeah.
And the Fauna Shaman is pretty sick. But I don't feel like... I feel like one is fine, but I don't know if I want to put, like, my whole deck on that, you know? Like, we're, like... I think Alex was running, like, three or four.
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's just, you know... I don't know. I feel like it just gets bolted or killed all the time. Like... But then I guess if they kill the Fauna Shaman, they can't kill your Kiki Jiki or whatever.
Hmm. Well, it's a deck that I might consider, because Pod is a card that I've avoided for so long, but it keeps being relevant, so I think at some point I'm going to have to learn how to play a Pod deck.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun to watch you try to figure it out.
And lose.
That'd be sweet, man. I think all my FNM Hero days with Pod really helped me to, like, get a feel for the timing of the card, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because, like, using, like, when to use life, when not to use life, like, sometimes you don't have to activate your Pod every turn. And as a matter of fact, you actually probably shouldn't every turn at some point, you know? So, like, knowing what turns not to activate on and what turns to develop and, like, all this stuff is, I think it's something that really... It's tough to learn, you know? Teach and I don't even think I don't even think I have it. What'd you say?
Teach me, Jonathan.
I don't even think I have it down, but I think I've got it enough where I can, like, you know, finagle it, you know?
Finagle it.
I've got it, like, duct taped. I've got it kind of figured out, you know, it's kinda like running at half mast, so.
Nice. But yeah, that was like, that was the GP in a nutshell. It was literally, like, the most crazy, surreal time that I've had in a really long time. Like you said, John, like, some of the best party we ever had in Magic history. A lot of the feedback seems to be slanting that way. And, I mean, KYT fucking, like, hardcore money this event. KYT just started his rookie season, officially.
Yeah, which sucks, because that means because I always told myself that once I get my rookie season, I have to, like... pressure myself hardcore to do really well.
Yeah,
man. You better learn that Pod, bro. You better learn it. So you got your first pro point, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
So $200
$200
that will come in the mail in, like, a year or something.
Yeah.
So, wait, that means I'm still the best player on the A-team, right?
I think we should let our fans decide. So, should a top... So, 35th at a GP or top 8 as an... Or at top an SCG...
Four.
Top 4 at an SCG event.
Yeah, the reason we said that maybe the top 4 might be better than the top 35th or whatever at GP... Well, because 4 is less than 35. But besides that, it's the cash involved, right?
Right.
Like, he got 200 in cash. I think I got 500, but somebody told me it was 9. I don't...
Whoa!
I don't think it was 9. Somebody said it was supposed to be 9. I don't know. I got 5, so if it was supposed to be 9, I don't know what happened to the rest, or whatever. You know. So yeah, so I've cashed them. I've had the highest cash finish on the A-team.
It's pretty good.
So what do you guys think?
Yeah, let us know who you think is the best.
I mean, obviously they're going to say KYT is the best, you know. But, you know, KYT doesn't have a high enough cash finish to be the best. I guess if we go by pro points, KYT's got it.
Yeah. One.
One. Gotcha. So what does that mean if you said you're going to pressure yourself to do better? Like, what do you have to, like, what tournaments do you have to start playing in?
Like, just travel more, just because I don't know how it works anymore, if it still works the same way. It's just this fantasy of wanting, once I hit the point, to try to hit Rookie of the Year. So.
But how do you do that? Do you just, like, play in PTQs, get in the Pro Tour, and, like, all that stuff? Or?
Yeah, yeah. Stuff
play
like that.
Play at more GPs, right?
Yeah, play at more GPs. Basically, you know, take it. Well, that's what I wanted to do, right? Take it a lot more seriously once I was able to get my first pro point, but I didn't think it was going to come. So now it's like, okay, fuck.
Okay. So GP Indy is not this weekend, but next weekend.
Yeah.
Are you coming?
No.
Why not?
Because I will be going to GP, most probably going to GP Atlantic City in January, which is very soon. It's like the second week of January.
Yeah, but you got to do more GPs, man. This is a rookie season, bro.
I know. So, in a pickle here.
I mean, I got a place to stay, man. You just crashing me, man.
Well, I did well, and also sang some One Direction at the party with some of the guys. So
that was so funny. I was wondering from Scotty, why were you making, like, hardcore gangster rap type motions with your hands when you're singing One Direction? Like, that's not... When you're singing One Direction, you're like jabbing at people. You're like, yeah, You're, like, jabbing your hands all around and shit. Like, you were karate chopping fans' necks away and shit.
People,
it was weird.
People, like, paid for a lot of drinks for me, and I was really hammered, and the thing is, Scott set it up so that I had my own room, which I thought was going to be a terrible idea, because I didn't my own hotel room for, so I didn't know how the heck I was going to wake up. And once I got in my room, I just, like, in my drunken state, couldn't figure out how to work the fucking alarm. I'm like hitting it, I'm like hitting all the buttons. I'm like, what the fuck? And so, and Scott's in the other room, like, and he didn't make day two. He's not gonna wake me up. So I'm like, I'm fucked.
I'm just fucked.
I'm just gonna fall asleep, wake up, and be like, fuck, I missed day two. So, but luckily I was able to, like, my phone was dead too. My tablet still had some battery life. I set it to 8 and managed to wake up from it. That was the lucky part, but, people got me really hammered. I've never been so, stumbling, like, I was walking. I was like, what? And so, but still wasn't, like, drunk out of my mind where I was just talking bullshit or saying things that I didn't know I said. So I've never gotten to that point. So, and I drank a lot, so I don't know. Like, I have to drink like 2 times more, or I don't know.
It's a proven fact that Asians can metabolize alcohol into brain fuel.
Except, yeah, that's the only explanation. That's why you got 35th, bro. That's what happened.
With the exception of Derpington, who just falls asleep watching a UFC fight.
That's not to say that he isn't, like, a genius at that moment. It just means to say that in that moment he's...
Yeah, his dreams are filled with complete math equations.
So most people did get hammered on the Mana Deprived team. Didn't do so well on day two. Scott Pinar, Alex Hain, etc. So, well, actually, I think Alex didn't end up moneying, so not him. But me, I mean, I did one of the best out of the party, and I was, like, dead. I was totally dead.
Yeah, you were pretty hammered.
I'm like, no one's going to save me. I was all alone in my room, like, and I could barely move. I'm just like, someone set me an alarm.
He's sitting there with, like, the alarm clock in pieces in his lap, like, oh, I don't know what to do.
I don't have energy, Scott.
Scott. Oh, man. Yeah, Pascal bought me a shot.
Oh.
Yeah. He bought me a shot, and I think, who else did? Who bought us all shots, Scotty?
D-Mac?
D-Mac. That guy is cool, by the way.
Yep. The history of D-Mac.
Oh, man. You guys get along with him, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. He's kind of a smartass, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, he's kind of... I like that, though. I like that. He's a pretty cool guy.
Yeah, he's the guy, like we mentioned on the show, who couldn't believe that Jay got sponsored to go to Toronto. Just kept...
Oh, yeah.
And being like, what the fuck?
He's like, is this a professional karaoke club? Oh, man. So, yeah, so I don't know if it's because the listeners, like, heard that I didn't drink, but man, they were offering me so many freaking drinks at this place. And I had to turn them all down. KYT took one for the team.
That's why I got so fucked up.
Yeah, it was like, alright, I did a little bit of drinking, and I got in big trouble for it, by the way, when I got home. I did a little bit of drinking. I took a drink because Scott was giving me the look, you know? And he goes... they all brought shots. D-Mac bought us all shots. And I'm like, yeah, I don't drink. And then D-Mac is just looking at me like, what? And then Scott's like, Jonathan, it's rude. It's rude if you don't drink. And I'm like, what?
Just
and
have
I'm like,
one.
I'm like, no. He's like, just take it. He's like, seriously, it's rude. And I'm just like, okay. And then D-Mac's like, dude, this is like not even alcohol. This is like nothing. And I'm like, all right, I'll do it. So I took the shot, and then I'm like, all right, yeah, whatever. It was like, what was it, like peppermint schnapps or something? This is very, like, peppermint.
It was something minty.
Yeah, something minty. And then Pascal, I had bought him dinner the other, like, at one of the events that he topped. He did well at an event or something, and I'm like, yeah, man, I'll buy you dinner, like, good job, like, whatever. I think you were there too, KYT, at this event. I don't remember where it was.
No, I'm pretty sure it was... I saw a picture of you with him. I think it was Indy where he top aided.
Yeah, Indy. Yeah.
I was not there.
Oh, yeah, you weren't there. Yeah, so I bought him dinner. So he repaid me with this other shot of Jägermeister. And I was like, well, you know, I can't, you know, this is, I just seen Scotty's face right there. It's rude, Jonathan. It's rude, right? So I'm like, all right. I'll take this shot for Pascal because, you know, he's like, He's extending like this you know courtesy to me, you know I should repay it, you know. So I took one with him, and then my buddy Ryan Bouchard was like, all right, Medina, let me buy you something to drink. I never get to buy you something to drink. I'm like, dude, I don't drink, man. And he's like, oh, that's bull, man. I seen you drinking a shot over there. I'm like, nah, man, it wasn't like that, you know.
So like, I love how I started this like terrible yeah, Scott, waterfall
you,
of it.
You did this terrible thing, and then he's like, he's like, dude, come on, man, come on. He's like, this
I saw
is
you.
He's like, we're close friends, man. Why would you do this? You know, you take a shot with this other guy, you won't take one with me. I'm like, all right, dude, go ahead. Like, I'll take one with you, and that's it, man. I'm drawing my line. And so he's like, all right. So he orders the shot tequila. Because I'm Mexican, obviously, you know.
Obvious.
So I take a shot of tequila, and Then these other dudes, who's on the other side of the bar with KYT getting drunk, they're like, Medina, we're big fans, man. We're big fans, and you gotta take a shot with me and my buddy for his birthday. Right? And I'm like, okay, no.
They're making shit up or something.
Yeah, I'm like, this is not happening. Like, I gotta draw a line somewhere. And like, if I don't draw a line, like, people are just gonna do this all night to me. So I'm like, no, dude, I can't do it, guys. And then they're like, no, come on, man, do it. And I'm like, look, I already had 3 shots, man. I can't do it. They're like, what? You already had 3? What's another one? And they were just going on and on. And I'm like, the bartender, the chick was like, hey, dude, hurry up and drink it so I can go home. And I'm like, wow, like, talking about some pressure here. So finally, I'm like, KYT, come over here. I need you to drink the shot. And he's like, all right, dude. He just comes over. I'm like, I need you to take one for the team. Before I got finished saying it, he already like was just downing it. He's like, yeah, this is awesome. Oh, man. It was great to see KYT drunk like that.
Oh, man. What did you do to me?
Oh, man. I didn't do anything, man. It's all those guys. You Canadians, man. You guys start busting out the alcohol and you start going at it, man.
Yeah, we have a good time.
Yeah, it was great to see, like, all the Magic players, like, all their inhibitions, like, just out the window, right? And they were just, like, jumping around. KYT was jumping around, singing all kinds of songs. Alex Hain was doing Gangnam Style dancing. You know, it was just, it was insane, man. So what did you do on your weekend, Jay?
I did some wedding shit, and I fucking went to my office Christmas party.
Oh, how was that?
It's delightful.
Did they give you tickets to drink, or was it open bar?
They gave us 4 drinks.
Yeah. 4's pretty good. It's 2.
4 is a good. Last year we got two, I think.
So I had 4 paralyzers. I started strong.
Nice.
And during Sunday I played some Anti-League.
You in the Anti-League.
Some Anti-League and some key bars.
Anti-League is BS because I was at GP Toronto.
You're fucking BS.
Nobody had Anti-League. Nobody. This is in Canada.
Right? What? Everybody sent me pictures. Oh, Anti-League was so fun at the GP. Anti-League.
It's not real.
They're all liars, is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They're all liars.
Fucking liars.
Speaking of Jay, Anti-League, I did tweet at you my first 3 packs of Anti-League.
Yeah.
I was hoping to start my deck. I was a boss, so I picked, you know, foil shards. I picked foil shards because I was a boss. Okay, and I picked Champions of Kamigawa.
And what'd you get?
Expensive set. And Return to Ravnica. A cheap booster pack to compensate for the pack was like shouting out so much for the first two. The first one, I get a foil Noble Hire. So I have to buy another pack. And I get a Sensei's Divining Top in the Champions pack. So I'm like, whoa, whoa, fuck.
Whoa. Why do you have to buy another pack because you get a foil Hire?
Because
he's being a bitch.
I'm being a bitch because I might have to anti that shit, and I don't want to.
What? That's not how this works, right, Jay?
What do you mean?
You can't buy another pack, right?
Yeah, I can. You can't force someone to fucking play what they get.
Oh, this is the worst, man.
He can't just, like, take out certain cards or add certain cards. Like, it's gotta be the whole pack.
Yeah, but that still feels super, like, lame. That would be, like, if I
was... It is super lame, but you know why? It's because everybody else is super lame. Like, you go to take some little kid's fucking pogs, and then mom's like, you ain't taking my kid's pogs. Ain't nobody got time for that. And then he just can't play Anti-League, you know? Some girl's like, oh, I opened a foil Angel of Serenity, or... Near, 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 and I like Angel. And then, like, oh, I took it from you. And then they're like, you're just a dick. And you're like, well, no. You know, you bet that card. Like, if you took my card, I wouldn't just call you a rude name, lady. You know?
Wow, I can't believe KYT is backing out. Like,
I know, he's such a wiener.
Whoa,
shit.
Whoa.
A wiener.
I am such a wiener. So it was Noble Hierarch, Sensei's Divining Top, and I'm like, okay, at least I get to keep one pack. So I open Return of Ravnica, and I open Temple Garden. So I'm like, fuck. And had to buy three packs, and I open Horse Shit in the next three, and I'm pretty happy.
Wow, this is... I don't accept this. I think this is just bogus. You know, like, when I opened my pack to Power Pack, I wasn't like, oh, this is a Baron, bro. I'm never going to get the power with this. I should probably open another pack until I open something that I want. You're doing the opposite, right? You're just like, oh, this is all too expensive. You only paid, like, how much did you pay for these three packs for the foil Noble Hierarch?
$12.
$12, right?
Mm-hmm.
You only paid $12, dude. You got to throw it in the anti-league, man. you gotta let Jay ride a dick on your Noble Hierarch, man.
Yeah, foil Noble Dickerarch.
But it was so sexy.
Oh, man. So are you getting into foils now?
No, but I think for us, it's the local anti-league. It's like the new baller rule. That has to be one of your packs.
Oh, the foil shards pack?
Yeah, it has to. It's just too baller. Every card looks, it makes like the anti-league look so nice. When you're,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's like such a sweet set for this, and it has been picking up locally. So for me, I didn't see it at the GP, but locally, a lot of people enjoy playing it. Of course, it does get frustrating when you lose to not getting that one color in your hand. It's just somehow your deck is just configured that way to have like infinite white cards, and you just don't get that. And
yeah,
if you lose some planes in some anti matches that could really like hurt your morale.
Yeah, that's how anti deck works. Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. And then you're like, fuck. And then you just like retire it.
Yeah. Like my friend Kevin, he had four white cards in his hand when we were playing, and he only has like two planes left in his deck. So that's pretty much like a retire right there. So I'm going to see if I can convince him to anti it to me, because I think he should. I think he's being a little bitch if he doesn't.
So when they anti the whole deck to you,
yeah,
they still play with the deck, right?
No, it's like a scoop.
Oh man, so they're just like, I anti my deck to you, and then you're like, oh, you have no cards, so you lose.
No, they just like offer it to you as an offering.
And do you shuffle it into your deck, right?
Yeah, you don't have to. If their deck is like full of shit, then you could just say, no, I don't want that shit. Out of here.
Yeah, out of here.
But it's like a nice common courtesy. Like if a guy takes, you know, 20 cards off you and crushes you, and then like, you know, your deck, you're gonna retire your deck. You might as well just, you know, ship it to that dude, bro.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know, man. I might do this. I might get into this.
You gotta get into that. It's the best format of all time, man. How about this? Oh man. Okay. How about this? I'm gonna shuffle this up just motherfucking just a little bit. Just give me 1 second, and then we're gonna do a sneep keep.
We're dead. Oh gosh.
On the anti league
on the anti league deck. This is gonna be fun. Okay, so I'll let you know right now. My anti league deck is about. Well, it doesn't fit. Okay, you guys know those glass, not glass, but like the plastic clear cases.
Yeah.
How many cards do you figure those hold?
In sleeves?
No.
Not in sleeves?
Not in sleeves.
Oh, God, a lot.
Okay, so my anti-league is like, oh, God, a lot, plus another like 100 cards. Well, maybe like 50 cards, okay? So like, holy fuck, it's like as big as like a fucking... It's taller than a sleeved EDH deck, and it's unsleeved.
Wow.
Okay, that's my anti-league deck. All right. So, and it's five colors. Some bombs I got in there. I got two Mr. Commisters.
I love how he says it's five colors.
For those of you that don't know what a Mr. Commister is, it's the Mercurial Chemister.
Sure.
A noob said that one time. He's like, Mr. Commister? And then it just kind of stuck. So I opened one, and I won one. The other bomb I opened is a Mirian Crusader. And I think I lost my other rare. But I won, like, a Deathbridge Goliath off someone. I got a lot of mountains in here. I got three of those Ogre Resistors. All three of them have dicks drawn on them. In the same spot, really. And, yeah. Okay, here we go. We'll just cut it for posterity. Sneak keeper ditch. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All right. We'll go through the lands first. And then the non-land cards. Okay? So we got a swamp. We got a plains. We got two forests. Okay? Then we got eyes in the sky. We got rally the forces. So for those of you that don't know what that is, it's attacking creatures get +1/+0 and gain first strike until end of turn. And it's an instant. Definitely don't play that on your opponent's turn like I did one time. Rotwolf is the other card we have. Rotwolf. Infect, 2/2. Whenever a creature dealt damage by Rotwolf this turn is put into a graveyard, you may draw a card. And he has a backwards dick. Somebody drew his dick in the wrong spot.
Rotwolf.
Rotwolf, yes. Eyes in the sky, rally, and four lands of three colors.
What colors?
Green, black, white.
Oh, keep it.
Sneep that shit.
Yeah, you have to sneak that
motherfucker. Yeah, sneak that. And you can cast your Rotwolf. You're in it, man.
The next card off the top is Switcheroo. Switcheroo. So unbeatable bomb that you can't cast. And the planes. And the planes. Alright, so you're not getting any action for a long time. That's okay. So we decided that's a sneep. So for those of you that haven't read the Anti-League article, lands are really, really powerful in Anti-League. Because everybody's got the same problems, man. They got five colors. They're missing some lands. They got too much land. They got not enough land.
Yeah, you know? That's like the sickest. Well, I haven't played it enough, like, but my friend who has like a lot of mana fixing in terms of like green mana dorks that produce three different not Noble Hierarch, like some other creature that does that, and it's like, fuck.
Yeah, like I have a druid. No, maybe I used to have a druid. Druid of the Anima, which is
that's what he has.
It taps for like Naya colors, and then I have like a lot of I opened two key runes in my RTR pack, and then I think I have one, two more, and Axebane Guardian I opened, like almost everybody opens an Axebane Guardian it seems, and I've won at least one more of those, and like so cards like that are fucking insane. I mean, I've lost a lot of cards that are good too, like I've lost three gates that I've won over the course of time, and like, you know, the key to Anti-League is knowing when to keep and when to ditch. So the other thing that we've been trying at Anti-League, and like, don't get too aggressive with this. Be reasonable. Don't be just a don't be a sharker. But what we tried a couple times
is this
sharker. We got this new rule where you can shuffle your deck when you're gonna mulligan. You can shuffle your deck, anti another card, and then mold of the same number. Now you gotta be careful with that, because some sharkers out there are gonna smell chum in the water. And they're just gonna mulligan like infinity times to seven until they get the perfect seven. Because it doesn't matter if they, you know, have antied 100 cards. If they have the perfect seven and you're dead, you know. So just, you know, you could say like Anti-League is all about communication between two players. If I say, okay, I'm gonna mull, I'm gonna go back to seven, or I'm gonna go back to six because I'm antying another card. That's cool. And you're like, yeah, that's cool. And then I try to do it like 10 more times. Just be like, nah, man, nah, nah. Right,
I think that's an interesting rule.
It's an interesting rule, and
limit, I think
we made the rule for people like KYT who can't handle, you know,
can't handle.
Oh, I only have one forest, and this is a double greener. Oh,
I can't handle losing foil Noble Hierarch.
Yeah, we made it for those guys. We made it for those guys. Okay, oh, this is a little bit more of a hand. All right. We got an island. With Call Me Maybe, a line from Call Me Maybe written on it. We got a forest. Then we have Survey the Wreckage, destroy target land, put a goblin into play. We got an Angelic Wall, 0/4 Flying Defender. We got a Korozda Guildmage, which is green-black. We got a Selesnya Key Rune. And then we got a Viridian Claw, which is +1/+0 in first strike equipment.
And your land is what?
Is green blue. One land gets you white.
But you can cast black the key rune. Most, right?
Cast the key rune. You need a black to cast the guild mage. And the Viridian Claw you can cast, but you can't equip to anything.
And the Angelic Wall is how much mana to cast again?
Two. It's white one.
Yeah, I think I keep that. and just hope to draw to the other colors.
Hope you rip the key rune?
Ooh, or the basic land. I mean,
it's ugly. It's ugly.
That's how I've been playing this game. Like,
yeah, you got them all.
Three colors is good enough. I gotta draw the other two. Like, I have no choice.
You gotta mull that shit away, KIT. You gotta get rid of.
I can't expect to have five colors in my opening hand.
Five colors? No, of course not. But you gotta have something you can do. Come on.
I can play a wall.
You should make me play a wall on turn four. You're a rookie. You're pretty bad at this.
I'm a rookie, man. I'm a rookie.
All right, one more time. Holy shit. This is obviously a sneak. Maybe it's not. Oh, yeah, it is. All right, so we're gonna just do another one. That was like four different colored lands. So you obviously sneak that. You have to sneak.
You have to sneak it. You've got no other option.
It doesn't matter. Even if that was a Moldafor, you sneak that shit. Okay. Oh, here we go. This is a little bit more interesting. This is a KYT hand right here. This rookie shit. We got a swamp. We got a plains. And we have a shimmering grotto.
Sneep.
For those of you that don't know what shimmering grotto is, it taps for colorless, or you can filter any color. Then you have a divine offering, which is destroy an artifact. You've got Falcon Wrath Dick Hands, which is Terminator. You got Frantic Salvage. Two Frantic Salvages in my deck, and they're unplayable. And then you have a Nix, which is the Izzet Guild Mage. Oh, you got your fucking Shimmering Grotto, your white and your black.
Sneeping this, no?
Is Shimmering Grotto just auto snap?
Isn't that the lesson here?
It might be the lesson here, yeah. It might be the lesson. Yeah, right. Yeah. So, Anti-League's really fun. A lot of that on the weekend. It was fun. We had a lot of good times. We had like 8 or 10 people show up for Anti-League on Monday. We had a bunch show up on Sunday. We did a draft. Good times. I'm trying to revamp my cube a little bit. I want to get the green-blue deck going, the blue-red deck going. I want to make white weenie a little bit more aggro-tron, you know what I'm saying? Cut a lot of junk, add more counter spells. So it's been going, you know.
You said blue aggro you're trying to build? Into your cube, you're trying to build blue aggro?
Oh, the blue-green deck I'm trying to make better. But yeah, that's it for me, man. Like, I've been playing Flash at FNM. Still going for one, it's fine. So good deck. You know, it's
so, really so good. You're running Flash, or you're running Runechanter's Pike?
Yeah, two of them.
Woo! Is it just blue white?
Yep.
Wow, staying with the blue white. Didn't add red, huh?
I don't have time for that. I don't need it.
I don't have time for that. Chicka chicka.
So, there's like a bunch of crazy decks that came out of the weekend, which were pretty sweet. So I'm looking forward to Modern PTQ season.
Yeah.
It's going to be insane. And other than that, like, I guess we just, that's where we be, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we're done.
Hails from GP Toronto. I mean, what else are you going to?
Shit, son. Alright. Well, shoutouts?
You gotta have scumbag stories.
I don't have scumbag stories.
Got it. Son.
I don't have any.
Yeah, we don't have any.
I didn't run into any scumbags.
Nope.
Not
everyone was awesome.
Sir.
Well, yeah.
Chris Lansdell gave me a warning, though.
Yeah, that was funny.
Scumbag.
When Lansdell had to call you on it?
Yeah, fucking Lansdale gave me a warning.
You're fired, Lansdale.
It's basically the same thing as the Staticaster thing for John. I played Geist with just a Hallow Fountain in play, so. And I did it again the second day. So, thank God it was on different days or I would have had a game loss and not cashed. So, and Speaking of cash, it reminds me of my last round where, you know, the typical...
Oh, this is good. Yeah,
should,
okay,
you,
go.
Should you draw or should you not draw, right, Jay?
Yeah.
I mean, and...
Super secret tech for you, KYT. If you are playing Anti-League and you win the roll, you take the draw every time.
I'm not that talking about that kind of draw. But,
You know?
I'm talking about, like, whether in the last round I'm X and 4... And, you know, we're trying to see if drawing will land us both in the money.
Sure.
And it was interesting because my friends show me we had the same amount of players than a particular past GP. And usually X4-1 makes it to the top 64. And looking at the pairings and the standings, me and my opponent, our tiebreakers were in the middle of the pack. So we were in a situation where if we drew, we were most probably going to top 64. If one of us won, we were not likely to make it past top 32. So there was no really upside to playing because there was, you know, you couldn't get more money. You couldn't, like, I finished 35th, right? Like, I was going to finish, even with a win, under the 32 cut. So... But my opponent was just, you know, the typical... I always end up with these opponents that aren't sure, just like in the Syracuse PTQ. We were both locked, and he wasn't sure, so he ended up playing me and kicking me out. And so I'm there again. I'm like, oh, man, this is happening to me again. I'm going to have to play when both of us can easily, most probably, it wasn't a lock, I guess, lock up money, but I'm the one that has to play. I look to, like... But I told the guy straight up, I'm like, I'm the type of person who's like, okay, play, because I liked my deck too. So I was pretty confident whether we were playing or drawing. So I wasn't feeling that bad. I'm like, I like my Zoo deck. But I look to my left, there's like three tables of people with worse breakers than us. And all three of them draw. And then to my right is Reed Duke, who's explaining basically the same thing to the other guy. Like Reed Duke's just like above me in tiebreakers, and he's like, yeah, if one of us win, we probably don't win more, so we might as well draw because we both probably lock in money. But no, I ended up having to play, so thank God I won because I didn't want to see deja vu again. But usually X4, I think you're supposed, and I think all the X4 ones ended up making money, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know. The only thing is, after I won game one, I think what was the best mathematical move for me to make was to offer a draw at that point anyways. But I'm just like, in my head, I'm like, oh, I'm going to fucking beat this guy. but thinking back, maybe the best move would have been to offer the draw.
Why mathematically? Like, you mean like you could have lost, you mean?
Yeah, right. Like if I saw absolutely no upside in crushing him.
Well, there's always upside in crushing someone.
which may not have been true because, of course, I finished 35th, so maybe with some different numbers, I could have finished even higher, right? So, you know, things could have been different. But no, he forced my hand.
I had to give him the beat down.
Yeah.
I have a... I just got an email from one of our listeners about they are upset that they couldn't go to GP Toronto because they were sick. And so then they thought as redemption, they could email us the funniest story of something terrible that's happened to them when they're sick. The worst thing that's ever happened. And they want to know if I can read it on the show. It's hilarious, and I want to know if you guys are okay with me reading it on this show.
Why would we not be?
Hey, it's fine.
I don't know, because Scotty wanted to go to... Scotty wanted to go to...
No, it's fine. If you got something else, man, bring it.
Alright. I won't say who this is, just in case, because this is pretty crazy. Alright. What's the worst thing that happened to me when I was sick? It's also the worst thing that ever happened to me when I was traveling. I spent a summer in Thailand. While there, I got dysentery. Update, if you are looking for a great way to lose weight, you should get dysentery. If you
If not, then just move on and skip to the end of the show where the shoutouts are. I lost 50 pounds in 3 weeks. All of that weight blasted through my
God.
Except for what I threw up. Often, these would come together at the same time. This is one of those moments. I was at the mall on the outside of Bangkok with my three fellow U.S. travelers and about five local Thais. I had been in Thailand for about 6 weeks and would kind of get around with directions. The mall we were at wasn't a touristy place. There, like, wasn't much English there. We ate dinner at a fine establishment, a Pizza Hut. I was craving American food, so I got a Meat Lover's. After dinner, I felt this huge rumble in my stomach. I asked my Thai friends where their washroom was, and they gave me directions. There was no little man or little woman sign on the doors. So naturally, I just walked right by them, because man and woman was just written out in Thai. I asked the Thai how to get to the bathroom, and of course, they didn't speak English. I got my basic directions in Thai and actually found it, doing the butt clench trot the whole way there. I was starting to really sweat, and I could feel my body start to get like really hot all over. I got to the rest.
Good God.
This is so great. I got to the restroom and they don't have toilet paper in each stall. They have two giant rolls right when you walk in and you have to take as much as you need to the stall. What the fuck is that all about? I pull as much as I can while still clenching my butt as tight as possible. I feel as bad as I ever have. My mouth is getting that pre-puke watering, and my butt is about to explode. So as I clench walk back into the bathroom, holding a few grabs of TP and unbuttoning my shorts, I start to sit back. Before my ass even hits the seat, it just explodes.
Oh my God.
Simultaneously, I throw up. My ass is... My ass is not even on the seat. So there is just shit everywhere. I was bending over when all this happened. So naturally, I threw up directly into my shorts. There's barf and shit on my shorts, shoes, underwear, the seat, the walls, everywhere. Yeah. And since I was in the process of sitting... Since I was in the process of sitting down when my ass exploded, I sat in it. Two, and my ass and hamstrings are covered in shit. I just go at it, throwing up in the stall. I might not even be able to get through this. Holy shit. I'm sorry, listeners, if this is really annoying. Holy fuck. All right. I just go at it, throwing up in the stall while shitting my brains out. Not only is all of that super unpleasant, but I'm starting to really run a fever, and there's no part of me that doesn't feel good. So I finally finish up. All I have clean is a little bit of TP and my shirt. Luckily, I was wearing an undershirt. So after I exhaust the TP on my hamstrings, and the undershirt takes care of the rest of my ass, but I'm still filthy. The most terrible thing is my boxer briefs are holding a bunch of the shit puke combo, and I have no idea how to get it out. I just have to strip off everything, shoes off, socks off, ginch off, shirt off. They're relatively clean, so I go ahead and use them to clean off. Shorts, underwear off. So I have a clean t-shirt, and I'm naked otherwise, and still have some puke and shit on me. No TP because those fucking bastards don't see a reason to have TP in the individual stalls. So I take my shitty shoes and my shitty shorts and I leave the socks, underwear, in the undershirt in the stall. I walk out naked and barefoot except for my t-shirt and I'm holding up my arm. That I'm holding up with my armpits and go to the far sink and start cleaning myself. Of course, it is one of those press for 5 seconds of cold water sinks as I am finishing cleaning the shit off me. Two cleaning ladies walk in. So here is a white guy wearing a t-shirt bunched up to his armpits, soaking wet with no clothes in the bathroom of a major mall, and shit footprints leading across the floor to me.
Oh my God.
They look kind of stunned and just turn around and walk out. I wash what I have in the sink, put it back on. Now my shoes are making those squeaky wet sounds as I walk around with no socks. My shorts are dripping wet, and my shirt is only wet at the very bottom, where it is hitting the shorts. Of course, the mall is closing, so I can't buy new stuff anywhere, and I still have to meet up with my friends, grab a cab, and ride an hour back to where we are staying. Because why not? This was like the only time it wasn't raining in Bangkok, but I'm drenched. My travel companions ask what happened, and I just tell them, I will tell them later. I never did, but I'm sure they had an idea from the smell. So that is the shittiest thing that ever happened to me when I was sick. A day later, I was in a Thai hospital with doctors that didn't speak English and a little old lady nurse translating. The doctor said, you need to eat more good Thai food.
Good God.
Oh my God, I feel so bad for that person.
Wow.
Was that Neil?
Oh man, I don't want to say who it was.
All
right. It was Neil.
But it might have been Neil. Hi, Neil.
Hi, Neil.
Holy fuck. My shout out is to that person and that person only. You've earned it. My God. I just like I'm imagining like you run into the bathroom, you're getting that sweaty butt clinch going, and then you realize the toilet paper's outside the bathroom for some reason. So you gotta run out and you're like she and you're trying as much as you can, and then you run back into the bathroom and then you just shit. Oh my God. There you have it. Thanks for letting me read that, guys.
That was crazy.
It was crazy. Holy fuck. Shout outs. Go ahead and do shout outs, Scotty.
Shout out to everybody at GP Toronto. It was an absolutely amazing time. That's literally what I've got.
That's all of it.
That's it, man. There were so many people. I just don't want to piss anyone off by leaving them out.
That's the worst part.
Yep, it is.
And I always forget to give shout-outs to people that I say I will.
That's bad, too.
Yeah. Oh, shout-out to Warwick Davis, who is the midget, by the way, who
plays
Willow.
Don't they prefer to be called little people at this point?
I don't know what they prefer to be called.
Have you watched his show, fucking on HBO?
No, I have never seen it.
Oh, my God, it's hilarious.
He plays Willow, and Willow's coming out on fucking Blu-ray. Ba-ding! Best movie ever. Yeah.
It was pretty good. It's up there with like Legend, starring Tom Cruise and Tim Curry.
Oh man, I don't think I've seen that.
Whoa! It was really good. Huh. That was back when it was okay for him to be 5 feet tall because he looked like a little boy. Shout out to Tom Cruise.
Shout out to Tom Cruise.
Help a Tom Cruise. Help a Jesus. Anyways. All right, Johnny, what do you got?
Shout outs. I also don't want to leave anyone out. I met a whole bunch of cool people at GP Toronto. So shout out to everyone that I met and everyone who's had me sign their playmat. Shout out to all you guys. Yeah, I'm just going to give a shout out to everyone, man. I don't want to miss anyone. So that's where I'm at.
Okay. Jay?
Shout out to Shit Storytime Teller.
Yeah. And
shout out to Phoenix Comics for the sweet, sweet MTG Christmas party you had, and supporting Anti League because it's awesome. Oh man, shout outs. Shout out to KYT for going top 35 or whatever. Top 36. What's the number there?
Top it's top 64.
Or whatever.
The guy should have drew.
The guy should have drew. Way to go, doucher. No, shout out to KYT for doing really well. I was actually really surprised. I'm proud of you, so good for you, buddy.
Look, it had to happen to me. I'm looking to my left. Everyone's drawn their game. They're gone. To my right, everybody's gone. I'm like, what? Why the fuck? This is always happening to me. I'm kidding. But I'm not. I'm not. This is always happening to me.
Why the fuck?
I don't know if I have any other ones. Just shout out to everybody who went to GP Toronto and had a good time and was awesome and not a piece of shit. And anti-shout out to anyone who was a piece of shit.
Nice.
Sweet.
Yeah. And shout out to Scotty for that sweet party. I watched the videos on Facebook. Holy shit. I definitely am sad that I missed that.
It was a pretty good time.
Yeah, we missed you there, Jay. It would have been sick to have you there, the A-team unified, you know?
Yeah, that would have been just crazy.
It would have been crazy.
Ugh, and the last time we had the opportunity to do the A-team unified, we didn't either. Damn it!
We keep missing the A-team unified, man.
Yeah, we need to roll out.
We do need to unify the A-team.
Yeah.
I'll go next?
Yeah.
So shouts to Scott for everything this weekend. It was a lot of fun. Shouts to Jonathan and Taylor. That was a lot of fun to have you guys down as well. And I'm gonna miss a lot of people, but shout outs to all my fans that came up to me to ask me to sign their playmats and to mention how I was gonna break the day two curse. And you know, it's just something I've mentioned a lot on the show, so it reminds me that, you know, there are these people that listen to not just an episode here or there, but to like the entire sort of storyline of the A-team. So that just freaks me out sometimes. It's like, you're not going to pull a KYT on date. Like, just lines like that reference certain things on the show. You know, that really makes me happy. And shouts to Sal. I mean, he loves listening to our show and keeps, has nothing but good words to say about.
Sweet.
That's always sweet.
I still have my Sal signed tokens right here on my desk.
So that's it for me this week.
Sweet. Well, I guess that just about wraps up our show then. Oh, let me see if somebody deserves one more shout out. One more thing I got to check now that it's actually after that time. Hold on. No, I fucking hate you two. Not okay. Not okay, Brian Kibler. No shout out for you. Anti shout out for Brian Kibler and for PB.
Well, they didn't put us in the article, huh?
Wow. Chumps.
Chumps.
Chump o'clock with Chumper and Chumpette. Burn.
Wow. I guess we lose.
Yeah. You got scooped out.
Yes, I'm typing a mean and nasty Facebook post to Brian Kibler's article right now.
Uh-oh. Hey, Kibbs, I thought we were friends, bro.
My dude.
My brother. My brethren.
There. I figured that it would be bad taste for me to type the words fuck and fuck and fuck in his Facebook article post. It would probably get moderated out. So, I didn't.
Good. Good.
Good thinking.
Smarty pantaloons.
Oh, he got the most, out of all the pros, he got the most hammered.
Did he ever?
And he 0-3'd?
Yeah.
He didn't win a single game. He didn't win a single game.
That's crazy. That is crazy. That's why Modern is a terrible format. Ban Modern.
Went 0-6.
0-6. Holy shit.
Ban Modern.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it was funny because he came over to me. He was already pretty drunk. And or pretty buzzed or whatever you want to call it. And he's like, hey, Medina. And I'm like, hey, what's up, Kibler? He goes, over under. I'm going to set the line at 2.5. Over under on how many games I won today. And I'm like, I hope it was over. And he's like, zero. He's a little zero with his hand.
I love it.
Like zero.
I love it. I love it.
Oh, it was great, man. And then we just had a big, long conversation about you know, his deck and his bad beats. And I was like, well, that's sweet. I went 6-3. So, you know, whatevs.
I love it.
Oh, man.
Line nice. At 2.5.
Zero.
Zero.
Man, that's so funny.
Nice. All right. Well, I guess with that, we can call it a night.
Coolio.
So we will check you all later and see you all next week.
Bye, everyone.
See you later.
Peace out.